Just thank you that by your great, tremendous, and exceeding grace that you've gathered your people together tonight to hear the word, to hear you speak to us, God. We're so grateful. We come with grateful hearts, with open hearts, willing and ready to receive what you've prepared for us tonight. God, we just thank you that it's in the abundance and the richness of your mercy that you care so for us, that you love us so deeply, that you sent your son, and that, praise the Lord, he's coming soon for a rib portion, for a bride, to be caught up in the air, to be together with him forever. Lord, we know every day is a day closer, and we are so thankful, we're so grateful that as you continue to allow us to draw breath, that we would just breathe of you, Lord, every second, every minute of every day, and that we would grow to the full stature of Christ. God, we thank you that you will encourage us in your word tonight, because that's what the word does. It works effectually in them who believe. And we are fully believing and trusting you tonight, God. And we thank you for everything in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, you may be seated. And praise the Lord. Wow, I'm just so in awe of him all the time. So grateful for this morning's service. Just what an outpouring of the love of God. The anointing of the Holy Spirit was so thick here. And just so thankful. It's just all his doing. You know, whether pastor feels good, whether I feel good, God's good. And he's going to take care of it. And he does every single time, because he is so faithful to every life here. And, well, to every life, period. I'm just thankful that we know what we know, and we're going to grow tonight from his word. And I've just been thinking so much here. Wednesday night, we started in the book of Revelation. And I remember 10 years ago when the Lord brought Mark and I into this meeting, we were doing Revelation on Wednesday night. All of a sudden, I was like, wow. And it was so precious then. I don't think I'd ever heard it just taught line by line. I'd read a lot of it, I think. Understood some of it, knew the bridal truth and everything, but just to hear it line by line and to go through everything was precious then. And I dare say it's even more precious now because, wow, we're a decade closer. Oh my goodness. There may be another decade to come. I kind of hope not, but however the Lord does it, it'll be in his perfect timing. But I'm so thankful. And last Wednesday, our pastor mentioned a couple times about a crown of life. And wow, sometimes the Lord just quickens something to your heart. It's like, wow. And initially I was thinking crown. It's like, I've kind of studied crowns a little bit in the past, probably, I don't know, maybe 5 or 6 years ago, quite a while ago. But Wednesday night in Revelation, and this had to do with the church of Smyrna, and this was in Revelation 2:10. And he also spoke about a crown of life in James chapter 1. But, you know, Smyrna, there's the two churches that are overcomers in Revelation. There's Philadelphia, which will be saints translated up, still alive and remaining. And then the church of Smyrna, those saints will be ones who have already passed, who, again, the Lord will actually raise up first. That's in 1 Thessalonians 4. And we went over that Wednesday night. Then there's also the crown that Paul wrote of, which is the crown that's not only laid up for him, but for all those who are loving the appearing of Jesus. I mean, you think about these crowns, this crown of life in particular, they're given to overcomers who love Jesus, really that first preeminent love, so crucial. And there are a multitude of distractions today and every day, and there probably always has been, but I think about this world as things just continue to press. And so much going on, but just fall in love with Jesus. God keeps it simple for us. He's not the one that complicates things. We do, but he doesn't. He just says, just love my son, just totally fall in love with him. And I'm so thankful that is the overarching message of this meeting and of this word. Just preach the word. So, thinking about these crowns, and I was kind of going through this on crowns. It's interesting. I'm going to tell you a few of them. And the Lord actually did have me settle down in one of these because there are quite a few. But there's kind of a wonderful story, I think, even in just looking at crowns. So in the Old Testament, there's a crown of pride, crown of gold. Many crowns were, of course, on the heads of kings. There were many kings of Israel, not very many of them good, most of them wicked. A few were very good. There is a royal crown that's spoken of in Esther, in the book of Esther. There's a holy crown. There might be a few more, but I jotted those down. In the New Testament, this is very interesting, and this will have somewhat to do with this crown that the Lord settled me into. In the New Testament, the first crown that's mentioned is the crown of thorns that Jesus wore. It's a crown of thorns. Wow. There's a crown of rejoicing, a crown of life, a crown of righteousness, a crown of glory, a crown of 12 stars. That's later in Revelation. There's also a corruptible crown. So, as I read through all this, I was like, wow. I thought, well, we'd be here till midnight if I went through all that. And I don't imagine we all want to be here that long. It would be good, but we'd be really, really tired. So we'll keep it shorter than that. But as I read through all this, I was like, oh my goodness. And then all of a sudden I kept thinking of glory, just thinking of the glory of the Lord. And I thought, oh, there's a crown of glory. And there is. And it's wonderful because it occurs 5 times, the number of grace. I just love it when, I mean, the Lord does that. I appreciate him in that. I'm sure there are numerological things to do with all these other crowns, but that, he just, it's a crown of glory. So I said, all right, we're going to go with the crown of glory. It's a very good one. And I'm so thankful to him. So those 5 times that it's in the Word, it's twice in Proverbs, it's twice in Isaiah, and it's once in 1 Peter. We're talking about Peter a little bit this morning. Wow. What a life, what a story, what mercy, what, my goodness, that was, wow, a lot to take in and just be thankful for. So let's get into this and start in with this first crown of glory. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs 4, and I'm going to read 7, 8, and 9. So Proverbs 4:7 says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. And wow, this verse has just infinite, wonderful, beautiful truth in it. And when you think about it here, I wanted to read 7 and 8. 9 actually has the crown of glory phrase in it, but it talks here about wisdom, and it talks about understanding. And there is, it says, exalt her, she shall promote thee, she shall bring, this is feminine here, this is female reference here, and it's actually referencing wisdom. Very interesting that very many times in Proverbs, wisdom is in the feminine. It's a feminine noun. Nouns can be masculine or feminine. This one is a lot of times. Now, when you think about it, generally when I think of wisdom, I think of Jesus. I'm like, wow, where do you get wisdom from? I mean, everything comes from there. When you think about the mind of Christ and you think of these things, this is Jesus, right? But then you have this feminine noun in here thinking, wow. I can promise you God is not confused with gender identity or anything like that. Jesus was a man, yes. Wisdom, this feminine noun here. Jesus is going to have a bride though, right? And of course in heaven there's not going to be male or female, so we'll be done with all that. But this is wonderful because you have Jesus' wisdom, but then you have a female. You have a feminine noun here, a wife. And this is wonderful because the two of them together. That's where things end up with those of us that are loving his appearing and loving Jesus truly. There's going to be a readied wife. And this is wonderful because she'll be seeking wisdom and she'll have it because there's his mind. That's where all that comes from. And it's so wonderful. So I think, my goodness, the word tells us when we see him, we shall be like him. That means mind, wisdom, understanding, everything. It's going to be a wonderful day. That's why we get so excited to see him. And the bride and Christ will be one. I think here, and we're just going to stay in this verse for a little bit because the Lord really just got into this with me, and I think it's wonderful, and I believe he would want me to share it. So some of the others will be a little shorter, but this one, he just unloaded on this one, so I'm very thankful. If you look there in verse 9 of Proverbs 4, it says, "She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee." So you have a giving and a delivering there. And it's interesting because wisdom shall give to thy head an ornament of grace. And wow, this is wonderful. And then you've got a little colon there. It says, "A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee." So this crown of glory is the ornament of grace. It's all one thing here. But when you get into some of these words, it's absolutely stunning, amazing. I'm so thankful for the word, just the depth and the richness that's in it. So we have this crown of glory noted as an ornament of grace. That word "give" is very precious. It means to set upon, to bestow, to grant, to consecrate, to dedicate, or to entrust. That's a very rich word. You remember in Revelation chapter 19, we read of the readied wife, to whom it was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And this is wonderful because that word "grant" is also a very wonderful word. It means to give to someone who is seeking something. So when you're granted something, it isn't that something's just thrown at you and be like, "Here, you just have that." But you're seeking it. So how precious is it when you're seeking something that then you get it because you are looking for it? You know, it's something desired. It isn't just, "Here you go, casual toss." Not at all. So just think of this ornament of grace, this crown of glory. You know, again, the readied wife arrayed in fine white linen, it was granted to her because she was seeking it. That's what she wanted. That was a desire in her heart. I think it's beautiful here. This ornament of grace is given to thine head. It's not given to any other part because, of course, everything starts with the head. Jesus is the head of the body. We're all wonderful members of his body, but he's the head, and this is just precious. The mature sons will be the ones who will allow him and allow grace to rule and reign in their life. They'll put on, they'll have that mind of Christ. They'll seek him in everything first because they've accepted and they're apprehending his love to the full. Then we have the word "ornament," and I'm praise the Lord. The Lord just had me go through all these words, and I'm like, wow, it got better and better as it went. I'm praising him for that. So ornament is a wreath, so called from the idea of bending and joining. It comes, there's even a deeper root word there, which means to adhere, to cleave, to join, be joined closely together. Now, when you think about what joins us so closely to our Lord, when you think of Romans 8, 17 and 18 right in there, this joint suffering, remember the crown of thorns? That was a painful crown, in the natural even. I can't even imagine something like that. But you see how Christ bent down to us. He was God incarnate in the flesh. So to go from what he was and still is to this stuff. I mean, we can't imagine that either. That is in a tremendous love that God the Father did on our behalf, sent his Son, and how precious. But when you think about this first crown, this crown of thorns, it was thorns that were wrapped and braided all together and plaited together in a circle that they crushed down on his head. But you think about, despite all of that, yet there was a joy that was set before him that he was looking for. And that is every saved believer, absolutely. It's all a joy to him. But then there's the readied wife. There's the one that's going to join to him in marriage. And I can promise you, he was looking for her as much as anything and looking for her, looking to her. And that is just a precious, precious thing. Now, this ornament, of course, is an ornament of grace. And thinking about grace. Grace is what will cause you to grow up into a mature son. That's a work of grace, to the full stature of Christ. Grace will conform you to the very image of Christ. And that, a lot of times, happens through sufferings. This is a part of the conforming to him. sufferings, and there are many, many sufferings going on in the world. Probably more martyrs now than ever before. I mean, people giving up their life for Christ to not deny him. It's a very precious, very tender thing. This is a conforming. Grace is what will cause you to want to cleave to him and to cling to him as a husband. That's all grace. So this ornament of grace, back here in Proverbs, is very, very wonderful. Then we come to the crown. And this is interesting. This word crown means to surround or to compass about. And when you think about a crown, it's round, it's on your head. Psalm 5:12 says, "For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield." And, you know, you think about in the armor of God, what was the shield? It's a shield of faith. And the faith, the shield of faith, it shields us from the fiery darts of the wicked, right? It's a defensive thing. You hold up the shield of faith. Actually, he holds it up because we couldn't hold it up, but he does on our behalf. And that's an effectual and wonderful surrounding. And actually, if you think about it, it surrounds us completely. You know, the enemy will try to shoot you in the back for sure. He's that much of a coward, quite frankly. I always say, well, face me if you're going to do something. We'll flip you in the back. I'm like, all right. But this surrounds us. So there's not going to be any place that's not covered. I think it's precious, just as kind of a little side note. If you want to make a note in Jeremiah 31:22, it's noted that a woman shall compass or surround a man. The Lord says, I've done a new thing. It's like, wow, Jeremiah. This is precious because in the Jewish wedding tradition, the bride circles the groom 7 times, that number of perfection. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah, you know. It's awesome. This stuff is just wonderful. That's in a marriage ceremony. And again, that's only a symbolism. Again, he surrounds us all the way around, all the time. It's wonderful. And then we have the crown is of glory. This word glory, it's a crown of beauty, splendor, rank, or renown, and a crown of honor. And we know, we've heard before, that a queen is to never take off her crown. That would dishonor her king, her husband. The queen doesn't do that. If you wear the crown, wear the crown. Wear it gladly, not pridefully, but just gladly. It's there for a reason. It was granted, again. This word glory is also in the feminine. It's a feminine noun. Again, the woman is the glory of the man. And that's a wonderful thing for a woman and for a man. I mean, both. So in beauty and majesty, the wife of the Lamb will be his glory. That's why when it talks about the holy city and the New Jerusalem coming down with the glory of God, this is will be a beautiful, beautiful thing. And this could be us. I mean, this holy city is a bride. It's us, potentially, and praise the Lord. All right, I think we've kind of exhausted that one, but I just love how the Lord does this. He gets into so much detail, and we could, again, go on and on, but that's what I believe he has for now. Stand in Proverbs, the second one, the crown of glory. Let's go over to Proverbs 16, just a few chapters back. Proverbs 16. And verse 31. 16:31 says, "The hoary head is a crown of glory, if it be found in the way of righteousness." And this hoary head, that was kind of an interesting phrase. I thought, well, I wonder what that is. So I checked it out. This hoary head has to do with those who are of age. It's like when you get white hair. It's when your hair changes from possibly whatever color it was when you were younger, to white. And it happens. It's natural. This is a physical thing, definitely, but in the spiritual, let's think about mature sons. Let's think about ones that are growing up into the full stature of Christ. And again, the hoary head, its maturity, is a crown of glory. We all know immature sons won't marry Jesus. They will not. Babies don't get married. Little kids don't get married. Okay, they have to be grown up, even in the natural. I think this is wonderful. It's only a crown of glory if found in the way of righteousness. That would be in Jesus' way. He's our righteousness, and that's it. It's so, again, so simple. God keeps it simple for us, and I'm certainly grateful to him for that. So that is, the hoary head is a crown of glory. So those are the Proverbs ones. Now let's go over, flip a few books back to Isaiah. We've got a couple of them here in Isaiah. Let's go to chapter 28. Isaiah 28. And I'm going to read verses 3 through 5. 5 is where the crown of glory is, but there's a little context here in chapter 28. And we're going to see in verse 3, it says the crown of pride. There's that crown of pride, one of the crowns in the Old Testament. The drunkards of Ephraim shall be trodden under feet, and the glorious beauty which is on the head of the fat valley shall be a fading flower. And as the hasty fruit before the summer, which when he that looketh upon it seeth, while it's yet in his hand, he eateth it up. In that day shall the Lord of hosts be for a crown of glory and for a diadem of beauty unto the residue of his people. Now the thing is, verses 3 and 4 give context to in that day. What day is that? And it's a day of this crown of pride, drunkenness, this kind of stuff. And it's like everything is very temporary. It's like you see something and it's just consumed. There's no lasting to things here. Everything's temporal, very surface almost here. But in that day, the Lord of hosts will be for a crown of glory. And that's wonderful. Now here the word glory is a little bit different than it was. It's a different word than in Proverbs. It still means splendor and beauty. It also means good and pleasant, and also a roebuck. Now, think about, where have we heard of the roebuck? The young heart in the Song of Solomon? Song of Solomon, this young heart, the roebucks. And we remember that's indicative of youth, and not youth in an immature sense at all, but youth as in strength and vigor and passion. I mean, this is the prime of life a lot of times. And the thing is, Jesus is always in the prime of life, and in him we are too. We mature, but we don't age in him because he's ageless. I mean, he's Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's kind of infinite. So there's not an aging like this natural body ages. And a lot of us here are getting the sense of what that is all about. Not a super fun time sometimes. But in Christ, we mature and grow, but we don't age. And I think that's so wonderful. That glorious body, incorruptible. This body, definitely corruptible. Absolutely. But God keeps us, and I'm surely thankful to him for that. So, this is what we are in Christ. In him, we never grow old. This is immortality. It's wonderful. All right, let's go in Isaiah back to chapter 62. Flip back here a little bit. Isaiah 52. I'm sorry, 62. Sorry about that. Isaiah 62. I'm going to read verses 1 through 3. It says, for Zion's sake will I not hold my peace. For Jerusalem's sake I will not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory. And thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. This is very powerful, wonderful scripture in here. This glory is the same as was in the two Proverbs passages. And you think about it, the hand is always symbolic of holding power. Christ sits at the right hand of God the Father right now, especially the right hand. It's a power thing. Now, I think this is wonderful because, in a sense, there's kind of a double portion here. You have two hands. You have the hand of the Lord, that is Jehovah, that word. Lord is Jehovah, has the crown of glory. The hand of God, that's Elohim, God, holding the royal diadem. And these crowns, again, are symbolic of ruling and reigning. Now, we know God the Father will have a wife that'll be the nation of Israel. This is talking about this in here. Of course, Christ will have a wife. There's the wife of the Lamb. There's a double portion in all of this. But you see, you've got two. You have the hand of Jehovah. You've got the hand of God Elohim. So again, the word is very simple and very straightforward. Praise God for that. But a lot of precious, precious testimony to us in here about things to come, actually. Things that are real, that are going to be just so, so glorious, even in this crown of glory. And it's the crown of ruling and reigning. It's what a crown is. So let's just be thankful to the Lord that he's called us to that. All right, then the New Testament. So those are the four in the Old Testament. Now let's go to 1 Peter. And this is going to be in chapter 5 and verse 4. And this is a really good one. It's familiar. I'm thankful a lot of this word is familiar. And if it is, that's because you're reading it, and you should. Praise the Lord that he'll encourage you to do that. So 1 Peter 5, 4. It says, "And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." So we know the shepherd is Jesus as head of the church, shepherd. It's at his appearing. That literally is at his visible manifestation. We're going to see Jesus someday. Wow. This is when we shall receive this crown of glory that fadeth not away. Now here the word crown is Stephanos in the Greek. So now we're in the Greek. We're in the Hebrew in the Old Testament. Stephanos. And this is beautiful, beautiful. It means a mark of royal or exalted rank. The wreath or garland which was given as a prize to victors in public games. The crown which is the reward of righteousness. That which is an ornament and an honor to one. You see how even in the New Testament all this carries forward? We've talked about the ornament, the honor, the reward of righteousness, all of this. And this is just because of Jesus. This is just, it's all because of him. But I think this mark of the exalted rank of righteousness, Revelation 3:21 says, "To him that overcometh will I grant," there's that grant again, "to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne." You know, I was thinking as I was studying through this, and our pastor is even speaking about it this morning, how we're never alone. That's such a comfort. We can be alone as humans, and you can be alone in a crowd of people. Sometimes that's the loneliest place, actually. Can be. So it's not really about people around or something. But it's such a precious place just to be shut up to him. But you're never alone. You can't be plucked out of God the Father's hand. You can't lose your salvation. You can't. I'm trying to think of a better way to say it than you can't get away from him, because we don't want to. I don't want to. I don't think you do. But he's got us, and we're closed up to him. You know, just like the Shulamite there, she's a garden shut up, a fountain sealed. You know, and a garden's very fruitful and everything, and a fountain is like gushing and everything, but it's only because of those times that you're very shut up to him. That's what does that working a lot of times. The very still and quiet times with him when he just gets you alone with him. And that is just wonderful, but not ever alone. And I just so appreciated hearing that this morning, because, wow, we all need to know that. The enemy will try to say you're alone by yourself. Nobody understands what you're going through. Maybe in a sense of human, maybe not. You know, we've all got certain situations that might not be completely relatable to other people, but Jesus knows. He really knows. Knows better than you know. That's hard to grasp, because you think, well, I know I'm with myself all the time. Well, sure you are. But he's so with you, and he's so for you, and he knows. So thank you. Thank you, Jesus. All right, this, again, going back to the prize crown, is given to the victors in public. This is a public display. It will be someday. If you go to Revelation 3:9, "Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee." Do you see what a victory that is? All the naysayers, all the people that are nasty, that spit on Jesus and everything. Wow. You know, that's, this overcoming is such a sweet and wonderful and beautiful, victorious thing. And that is something to so look forward to. And I know that we all do. Then we have this glory word here, doxa. I think that's the most frequent occurrence of it in the Greek anyway. And there's quite a bit here. I'm just going to read it all out, and you can just close your eyes and absorb it or whatever you want to do. That's kind of what I do, except if I close my eyes, I can't read. So I'm going to keep mine open. So this doxa in the Greek, it's splendor, brightness, magnificence, excellence, preeminence, dignity, grace. The kingly majesty in the sense of the absolute perfection of deity. A most glorious condition, a most exalted state. That's glory in the New Testament. That's Jesus. I mean, how, it can't be anything else. It's just all of him. All of those things are him. And then, the attribute to this crown of glory here in 1 Peter chapter 5, it fadeth not away. This is going into the incorruptible here. And I love it because that phrase, it's amarantinos in the Greek. And there is an amaranth flower. It's actually a flower. It's called an amaranth. And when it's plucked off, it revives if moistened with water. It's a symbol of perpetuity and immortality. Now you think of water, living water, this quickening, reviving, refreshing, gushing water. That's this word right here. So sometimes when we think we're pretty much cut off and dead, get in here and read. I'm encouraged to do it many times a day even, because we can get in, the Lord will allow situations that will be very pressing. You think, oh my goodness, this one, you know, the wonderful thing about God, he will never say, oh, that caught me by surprise. Oh, I didn't know Dean was going to do that. He's not going to say that. So don't worry, you're not going to surprise God with anything. But again, this is wonderful, even going back to how he's so with us all the time. And it's just wonderful. Now, thinking about this immortality, this eternal, immortal life, 1 Peter 1:23. So back to chapter 1 of Peter. This tells us we have been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God. We're birthed by this word, which liveth and abideth forever. I don't think that leaves any questions about anything. Very definite, very for sure. So we know Jesus is the seed that's planted within us when we accept him. That's the seed that remains. It's incorruptible. Like we said earlier, this corruptible is going to go away. And I don't think anybody's going to be sorry about that, quite frankly. But that seed that's in you, that's what's growing up right now. That's what's going to become this mature wife. And praise God. That's what God's whole desire is in Paul's gospel in this, is to grow us up, to bear much fruit. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, that's what we do. We just grow up. Now, let's go over to 1 Peter 1, 3 through 5. Hearing Peter quite a bit, which is wonderful. All right, 1 Peter 1, starting in 3, says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." That's kind of like when Joe was saying that song was like a little sermon. That's a little sermon right there. That's our whole, that's the life in Christ right there. Uncorruptible. We have an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, won't fade away. And just praise the Lord that we are his inheritance. He's ours. But when you've got heirs and everything, this is mutual. It's joint. A joint heir is a joint heir. And it's reciprocal back and forth. And I think this is wonderful because that inheritance, not only will it not fade away, but I think it'll grow brighter and brighter, actually. I think it actually is today. As we apprehend more and more grace, just to love Jesus more and more and more, these exceeding riches of his infinite love, as those just consume us, it gets brighter. It definitely won't fade away. It's going to get brighter and brighter and brighter. It's wonderful. Now, Paul wrote of a crown of rejoicing. That was one of the crowns here. And this dovetails right into everything we're talking about. 1 Thessalonians 2:19 and 20. You can flip over there. 1 Thessalonians 2. 19 and 20, Paul says, "For what is our hope, or joy, or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? Well, amen. For ye are our glory and joy." Now, that word rejoicing right there, it's glorying, or glory. So, for what is our hope, or joy, or crown of glorying, or glory? Isn't that wonderful? Rejoicing is glory for sure. This is how we're going to get glory, is rejoicing. And not because circumstances are great and we had a great day and God's good. God is good. And it's good to have a great day. But every day is a great day in Jesus. If you really believe that he's divinely ordered your steps, that God has done that, he didn't say it would be easy, but he said it would be worth it. And it certainly will. We know that. So thankful. Now that crown is that same Stephanos exalted rank crown. And you know, you think about it, as members of Christ's precious body here on the earth, we need to love each other like Christ loves us. Paul was so, I think, just one of the most amazing attributes of Paul was just how much he loved the brethren. And that was Christ's love that just oozed out of him. And you know, when you're full to overflowing, you just can't contain that. So if you're really full of the love of Jesus, that's going to come out to people. It's going to minister to people. You know, gosh, I think about so many times, even people that I don't know, maybe in a store or something, they're hurting. You can just see it. I'm like, oh my gosh. Sometimes I just stop and pray. I don't have to get a conversation started always, but this world is hurting and needs Jesus very badly. And God wants the world to have Jesus. He gave him for everyone. So this is wonderful here that we can have this encouragement, even in the high calling love. We love the body just as we love the head. There's no difference there. You love Jesus, you love his precious body just the same. So, in closing, doing all right, okay. Praise the Lord. I tell you what, this started out, and I just asked the Lord, it's so exciting. Well, I'm so excited. But just to keep it to what he has for now. I know it's always a really rich feeding because it's just him. But in closing, when you think about this, there are two items in the Word of God, particularly having to do with marriage, what we've been talking about, that are round circles. This has to do with Jesus and ruling and reigning with him. And again, going back to even Romans 8, 17 and 18, there's a crown and there's a ring. It's a wedding ring, there's a crown. And of course, a crown is symbolic of ruling and reigning. But it's a crown of suffering too. If we suffer together with him, we'll rule and reign together with him. And we all know this. We're very aware of it. But I love how perfect and exact the word is in this. So you think about the ones who wear the crown, and the crown of suffering will wear the wedding ring. That's pretty much it. They're so closely interrelated. Proverbs 12:4 says, "A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband." Amen. Wonderful. I want to be that. I do. And I know you do too. Now you think about a circle doesn't really have an end or a beginning. It's just a circle. Jesus, author and finisher of our faith, from everlasting to everlasting, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's always with us. In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So when we see him and we're going to be like him, we're going to have all that. You can't get your head around that. You really can't. You think about how in this weak, mortal flesh, to be raised up incorruptible, immortal, so amazing. 1 Corinthians 15:53 and 54. "For this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality." I like that word must. It's not might or possibly could. It's a must. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. And hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So thankful to Jesus for that. And saints, you know, may we just, gosh, this crown of glory is so wonderful. It's a good fight of faith. It's a good fight. Remember, the bride's a lover and a fighter. You'll fight for love. You will. Christ did for you. There was a good fight there. But it's all done. He said it's finished. Let's rejoice in the work of grace that will someday, that grace will place a crown of glory upon our heads. A wedding ring on the hand. All right? Hope this has been encouraging. It's awesome, the Word of God. All right, let's stand and be dismissed.